This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
I'm kind of loud. I look loud. Yeah, you're like, what's new?
You don't look loud to
what's
me.
What's new?
Okay.
Is your phone on? Turn your phone on silent, and then, because I just
Where is my phone?
I don't know, it's making a lot of noise. Today, I'm going to walk ZD through how to embroider on something that already has, like a motif on it.
Or it could be a seam or something, but it's about placement of the embroidery.
Okay, we're going to talk about a goat pillow.
This is a goat pillow.
And
it has, like, I guess it's got a goat on it, like a screen print of a goat.
Man, what is this on? Like plastic?
It's just the weirdest fit. I wonder if it says a content.
It feels like non-woven fabric.
It said something. It's woven. It is woven.
It's like,
I think it described it as... It
says linen look.
Linen look something.
But that's polyester.
Well, it seems plasticky to me. It seems almost like...
Don't iron it.
Like you could put this outside.
Yeah.
Like water would repel off of
so
it.
So ZD has...
A plan,
and your embroidery machine is your ally. It's such a good ally in gag gifts.
Any kind of gift.
People don't expect gag gifts to be like embroidered,
cool. and it takes
your gag gift up a notch.
It
becomes a usable gag gift, and then they're like, oh my! Like, even though embroidery is more accessible now than it was 20 years ago or whatever.
Here's the thing, though.
It makes it funnier.
But you have to be clever about it,
I know,
too.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you just took this and, like, scrawled with permanent marker on it, the words you wanted, it would be funny. I'm not saying it wouldn't
make
be funny.
It much funnier.
Maybe you just should do that. But it's, like, kind of funny because the embroidery is this old art form.
So
you're putting this very cheeky thing in this, like, older context, and no one expects a cuss word to be embroidered, you know. Poop camel to be on a towel.
We had a set of towels that we made for poop camel.
I bet a lot of people can relate to that. That a poop camel is someone who, when they leave their home, perhaps on a vacation,
you don't even have to leave home, but it's when it happens that you're storing poop and you can't poop.
Yeah, but like I feel like it's related to
it's a temporary condition.
Yes, and it's related to like I'm not at home.
I'm not eating the same.
I'm on a business trip and I don't like, you know, going in this bathroom or I can't relax or
whatever. I was on an airplane and I couldn't poop, so now I'm poop cameling.
You're poop camel. Oh man. All right. So
we have made towels that say poop camel.
So you're embroidered, like, get into the lettering.
Now, whether the person ever hung them in their bathroom and let, like, anyone else see them, we don't know, but she really liked poop camel.
Go into your lettering on your embroidery machine and go wild is what we're saying. But, okay, so ZD has ordered this pillow covering from Amazon. It has a picture of a goat on it, like a watercolor painting that's been printed.
Yeah.
On this woven poly. It's kind of it's got glitter in it, Mom.
Well, you know. It's glittery. Okay. I know. It's not trashy looking, but.
It has.
You're right. It has a Lurex.
A Lurex thread
in it. Oh, it's classier than I thought.
It's super classy. However, I'm just going to say, I don't want to like lay my face on this pillow a whole bunch. It's going to be a decorative, funny thing.
Yeah. This is like, throw on your gag gift couch, whatever.
Throw on your camper.
Right. And it has a theme.
Yes.
There's a purpose for the goat. If anybody watched Ozark.
Don't give any spoilers, but it's Ozark related, right?
There's a whole thing about a goat, right? And about a goat cookie jar and all of this.
Nope. Siri Siri thinks that we're talking to
her. And we had these friends that we actually, they don't even live by us. They live in normal Illinois, even though they're not normal. But anyway, they live in Bloomington, I think, actually, now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But Blono, whatever. Because we have Como here, Columbia, Missouri. They call it, they say
Northern
they
Bloomington or something.
No, Bloomington Normal.
Oh, Bloomington
so
Normal.
So they say they live in Blono.
That's not as cool as Como, that for sure.
But anyway, we take a vacation together every fall for a week, and there it always happens that their birthdays are the 10th of September and the 12th of September, and so it always happens that their birthdays wind up in this week, and I got this pillow because I want to embroider on it with the goat, and we will be vacationing in the Ozarks also. So there's all this like double pun, right?
Yeah, when people find out we live in Missouri, they're like, "Oh, you know Jason Bateman or whatever, you know." Like, no,
but why? Maybe I do.
Maybe you do.
I mean, they do have a Marty Bird.
They've gone with it.
They have the Blue Cat sign for the lounge and everything. I mean, so they've taken off on the theme all they can. But anyway, so got this whatever screen print or whatever kind of print of this goat on this pillow, and I want to somehow write Ozark memories, you know, 2022 again. So sort of like a double entendre because it's the end of the season, was last season.
Oh, yeah, the season finale,
and we
right.
watched
yeah.
it, like, in the Ozarks every year. Yeah, we did.
All right.
So, anyway, I've got to get this around something that's already printed on this pillow.
Okay, is that Jason? It's Jason Bateman, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes I
His
get...
His sister is Justine.
I get some... of the Jasons mixed up.
I know, because it's all those J words.
Yeah. Okay. So Jason Bateman. All yeah. right. Here's the deal with embroidering and wanting to get something centered or whatever. Okay.
Placed. Arced or whatever.
This is the age old challenge with
Which
embroidery.
We used to do it freehand, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah. So you used to kind of guess or you whatever, yeah. you know. This is the hard thing. So if you have a super basic embroidery machine, i.e., I think it's the Verve now, right? Like we sold those Sophias, you know, and stuff. You can see where your machine's going to embroider in a rectangular fashion, right?
Yes.
So I think we've talked about this
a little
bit.
It will frame it out for you.
Yeah. So like the word Mallory with a capital M, the capital M brings the perimeter of the rectangle up high.
Right.
And then down at the end of my name, the lowercase y brings the perimeter down low.
Yeah, right.
So it's going to draw this whole perimeter, but it's not going to show you where like the negative space is,
right.
the unembroidered space.
Or where the line would be that like you wrote Mallory on.
That's right. That
because
line.
The y is hanging down.
Mm-hmm. Or if you wanted to arc the word flutter over the wing of a butterfly
right.
that was already embroidered or printed or whatever. This is where that gets just very difficult,
right.
okay? But it's doable.
It's been done.
It is. In fact, I think it's more accessible now than ever. We have a Destiny, which is, I think, no longer the top of the line. Solaris. The Solaris is like
yeah.
the top of the line baby lock. But Destiny was top of the line. And Destiny has a cool way to do this, which is like, you know, Jetson type technology.
Right.
It's got the camera. Okay. But today we're going to tell you how to do it both ways. So I don't want people to be like, I have to have a Destiny to do this. Or
because
whatever.
I did this for years without a camera.
Yep. Yep. That's right. So we've got this goat here. It's like, I just want to describe it. It's this frontal portrait. It's the goat's head. Its ears are kind of out to the side.
It's kind of like the flying nun.
Yeah. It goes just down to like, I think that's what like a goat's elbow would be.
It's like its chest.
It's like its chest.
Yes.
Yeah. The goat's chest.
Elbow. I don't.
I guess
a goat does have an
well,
elbow.
Well, I don't think it's that far down though.
I get confused on animals what their elbows and their heels are.
Well,
and
I
stuff.
Guess that's because. I mean, understandable.
Just like dogs walk on their toes.
Understandable.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like they have a...
Their heel is up mm-hmm. in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. So, goat men, it's not a square. So where it is easy to place embroidery, where is it easy to place embroidery? It's easy to place embroidery on like a large blank space. sometimes.
Right.
We've talked about that tool, the embroiderer's buddy, for getting things in the proper place on the chest of like a t-shirt. Because sometimes you are like on a larger garment. If it's just a little name,
well,
or
if
a bigger
it's,
garment,
if
it, where does
if it's,
this go?
Or if it's just a garment size you're not used to, like a child. So there is an adult and a child size
embroidery buddy.
But, you know, sometimes that garment laying flat doesn't look like it does on the body. You've got to be real
careful.
That's
right. That's right. Or, you know, so everybody's had the experience of perhaps placing a pattern or placing a piece of embroidery, right, like on their nipple. Okay. Right. So
those are called pasties.
Yes. Sometimes you mean to. But, you know, anyway, then you need a special, you know, that's something we should come out with. It's the embroiderer pasties,
buddy. You know, I went to a pasty party.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
I did. And I thought they were going to hand everybody out pasties. They said there was a pasty party.
Valid.
I figured they were going to hand me pasties, right? And I would get to put them on and walk around with my pasties on, right? Well, that's not what it was. The bartenders had on pasties. And then, like, you know, some of the servers and I guess a few people, they paid to wear pasties, which all were like, you know, they look like to me they were 12 years old. I'm sure they were like of age.
So this is pasty gatekeeping.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, now wait a minute. Nobody wants to see my boobs because they have kept three people alive. These other people's boobs have done nothing but hang there, probably.
You know that.
Well, no, yeah, I could tell. Well, okay, believe me, they hadn't been used.
I just want to say that.
Were still in their pristine state. So they only wanted to see pristine breast that had not performed yet, is what I felt like. And no one asked me about mine or anything.
I was totally insulted that right now in the group, I'm posting who's ready for a podcast about pasties and goats.
So you can get a lot of pasties on Amazon, though, too, if you want.
I was
going to
say that, like, you could get, you're like, on me, you could get a lot of pasties.
Well, you could get a lot of pasties on me. I could get a whole bunch. But anyway.
You could tile.
Because my husband, we discussed getting these, actually, for Jerry, because.
Yeah, running.
When he runs, right, his nipples can get rubbed raw.
Derek wears Band-Aids every time.
Right, and so we do have the little round Band-Aids, but you can get pasties. And when he swims in the pond without a top, the bluegill,
they
bite his nipples.
Oh, that's funny. Yes. I guess I've never swam topless in the pond.
Well, I know. I thought, why don't they go after mine? And I thought, oh, I wear a shirt.
And so pasties nowadays, with like the advent of all these cool silicones and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're amazing.
Really, really cool. I own... You know, I don't know if they're called pasties. They're like a nipple cover so you can go braless.
Oh, you mean like the bras. Yeah.
Except they are the thing where they say, put it over the nipple and then pull up on the breast tissue.
Yeah, it can raise it.
And it can sort of perk it up. And I don't have as much breast tissue.
But that's like a... That's just the boob cover. Like, there are pasties that are...
Yeah, there's no tassels on them.
Right, there are pasties that are decorative.
Yes, yes.
And they don't have to have... And they all don't have... you know, danglies on them or fringes.
Although
or
I do have to say it's on my bucket list. Oh, man. Wow.
What?
No
danglies?
No one's ever going to sponsor this podcast. Not just danglies, but there's a trick. So I follow Dita Von Teese, like on Instagram and stuff. But there's the trick where you can spin them and they can go opposite directions.
Yeah, or the same. Either one.
You can do
clockwise and
counterclockwise and then opposite directions. It's not a priority for me at this moment, but it's just there in the back of my mind. Okay, so
I'm just trying to keep mine in my clothing.
Goat right now, embroidering on the goat. Let's talk about it.
But the other thing about the goat, I thought, is, you know, greatest of all times.
Yes, yes.
Like, you could take something off on that, too.
G.O.A.T.
Yeah.
You could, you know,
yeah, but you could use a goat pillow for that, too.
Yes, yes, very true. So you could just be like, picture of ZD.
Well, or whatever. But I mean, no, you could have a goat, you know, and do the G dot.
Yes,
O,
yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
Goat
okay.
of whatever they are.
Let's talk about how to do this on the Destiny.
Goat of the Ozark.
Yeah. Greatest of all time of the Ozark. Yeah, okay.
Of the Ozark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
whatever.
How to do this on the Destiny and on the Solaris. So I just remembered that how the Solaris works. It's got like an extra feature. So with the Destiny, what you're going to do, Mom, here in our home, and this is easy, so it won't take very long, and we'll spend the second half talking about what to do if you don't have this feature. You're going to hoop up your goat with whatever hoop gives you...
Goat hooping.
With whatever hoop gives you, like, the area, you know, where you need to embroider. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to go over his head, just, like, hoop it up. Try to get it straight on, but, like, honestly, if you're a little crooked... Who cares? Okay.
I may have to use the sticky down too.
Yeah, this. I think possibly. Now, also, just a note about the goat. The pillow cover came and there's a goat on both sides.
Yeah, it's printed on both sides.
Super neat. And ZD's like, I don't need it on both sides. I might take it apart and add
and,
a back
and Mallory's
on it.
Like, I think you're going to have to take this apart to really I embroider on think. It, right? And I'm like, well, that's fine because.
Because then I
it's
have two
printed
pillows.
On both sides. Now I have two goat pillows.
And this actually is a concern with this feature, okay? So the feature that I'm going to talk about, you do need to have something fairly flat.
Yeah, I was going to say it needs a flat surface to get a good picture.
Yeah. So yeah. I've got a story where someone wanted the name Vincente on a stocking, and I was wild. And I didn't take the stocking apart, and I, like, started embroidering with V-I-N-C, and then I, like, ripped up that part of it and then continued embroidering the E-N-T-E. Like, and so this terrible idea. Never do this. Not a good idea. This would not work on that. You're going to have to be able to get a clear picture. So what happens is there is a camera right above the needle of the Destiny. The Alissimo as well, I think,
has
this feature.
Yes, I think so.
And... So there's a camera right up there. So there's an eye. And what you do is you hoop up your thing on sticky on or traditionally
however
hooped,
best you need
whatever.
To get it flat and secure. Right.
And then you put your goat text in. Okay. And you go to the embroidery edit screen and there is a button to push to scan the hoop. So it scans what's in your hoop. And what that means is the camera is stationary. All right. Camera stays where it is, and the hoop moves around.
Right.
So what the hoop does is it goes over to the far left and then goes down, and then moves over to the right and goes up, and then moves over to the right and goes down. And it kind of scans in, like, the zigzag pattern to basically create a composite photo of what is in the hoop. So you will see Mr. Goat's head up on your sewing machine screen. And then you can move goat around,
right?
Or whatever message you're doing.
Your message around.
Yes, and you can even go back and like delete. Just so you know, you can delete like what you had placed there for embroidery and come back to it, etc. Like, oh, I spelled this wrong, or I changed my mind. You know,
or that doesn't look right.
That
there,
background,
yeah.
though, now that it's saved, is like there for
there's
you.
There.
So. Two things about this. Don't screw with what you hooped up, or if you do, you need to rescan.
Yeah, if you've moved mm-hmm. it in the hoop, then you
That's
have to
that.
Redo it. Right.
Also, if you do kind of have to hold something out of the way, just be careful because you'll get like a picture of your finger five yeah. times in the or the strap of a bag
right.
or something. Like, you know, keep everything nice and free from that. And then if your thing is heavy. Okay, so I've had this experience, like a robe, okay, or something where it's like, oh, I'm just embroidering this little part of this very bulky object. Hold everything as the hoop is moving around because it's going to move the whole area of the hoop, okay? So you just have to keep all of your bulk of your garment, your pillow, your whatever, you know, your bag, keep all of that free of the embroidery arm as it moves up and down. Because if you have a big hoop, it's going to scan the whole thing. You can't just be like, well, this little part, you know. Now, you should always only use the biggest hoop you need, right? You shouldn't.
You use the smallest hoop
possible.
Excuse
me. Yeah, smallest right. hoop possible. Thank you. That's
you
think, a better
you
way
said
to put
it. Just
I said it wrong, though.
Negative way. Right.
Yeah. Okay, so you should use the smallest hoop possible. And then you get to, I mean, you know, that's pretty darn accurate. You're basically getting to edit your design right over your picture.
Right.
Okay? Right on your
right.
embroidery machine screen. This is crazy.
It is. It's
I
wild.
Mean, it's a little wild when we first, the world was waiting for this.
It's wild that we used to have only a 4x4 hoop. That we had to embroider whatever design the manufacturer decided they'd give us on a card, right? So at that time, it was, you know, prioritized. Like, like you couldn't just, I couldn't use the same designs on my machine as someone else, you know, that bought a machine from a different company.
Yeah. So we have this ability on the Destiny, you know, to just, who even cares about perimeter check, you know?
Right.
Who even cares about any of that jazz,
well,
right?
Because perimeter check is easy. If I don't need to scan anything and I'm just doing a line someplace over something.
No, yeah, I don't use the.
You know, I use perimeter check because I don't want to take the time to scan my pillow top.
Okay, so that's what you do on the Destiny. Now, you know what the Solaris has that the Destiny doesn't have is a projector.
Yeah.
So that's what the Solaris has. Okay. Now, this isn't, you know, I don't have a Solaris, so I'm not as familiar with this. I'd imagine this would be good for, like, lettering. Oh, but what if you have a very dense embroidery design that was, like, a lot of different elements, but all together in a big, it would look like a big blob. Like, I'm envisioning something looking.
What you're saying,
Hey, quit taking that apart.
Okay, and pay attention.
Yeah, ZD's trying to work on this. There you go.
I think she's like my teacher or something.
Oh, it's just like five thread safety stitch put together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but see, it's got a serged edge.
Some high quality stuff here. Okay.
Actually, it kind of is.
So, anywho, that's how that works on those Jetson-like machines. It is super cool. However, like ZD said, it's overkill sometimes. I don't use it every time. It's not worth it.
No, I think I've used it once in like, you know, 7 years. But I, you know, I don't do the complicated things I used to do, actually.
I feel like embroidery, the trendy stuff right now is simpler.
Well, I think another thing is I often am... I embroider something I'm making most of the time.
Yeah.
So I'm embroidering on a flat piece of fabric that I haven't put a seam into or whatever. You know, so if I was, like, going to embroider something, say, on the chest of a dress I was making, right? Like, I was gonna put my monogram, right, on something. I would monogram a piece of fabric and then cut my pattern piece out.
Yeah, right.
That's how I would do it.
So
that way... If I screw up, I can do it again, too.
That's right. That's right. Well, and then embroidering before, then you're not distorting the fabric.
That's right. Yeah, you know exactly what you have. Yeah. Right.
So those are the cool ways. The projector, you know, obviously super duper cool. That's great.
Oh, yeah. It's cool.
That's super great.
There's definitely reasons to. And a lot of times, especially people who embroider for other people, they're bringing you, like, an item that already has a logo on it, and now they want a name, or they want something
so
else.
So handy. Or,
so that's when it's really
no,
great.
Oh, no, I had the experience of someone.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what you did.
Yeah, it saved me one time.
Right.
One time it was the superhero, because there was a person who came in and said, I want the name Anna Leah embroidered on this blanket.
And tell me how you spell that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Write it down yourself and then initial this.
And then they did. Yeah. And then I was in the middle of doing it. Like, maybe one of the times I really, like, was on top of things. I'm going to embroider this right now after this person leaves, you know. And they called back and they said, I spelled it wrong.
Yeah.
Because it was like A-N-N-A-L-E-A-E-A-E-A. And they were like, oh, no, it's A-E-A-E-A-E. So
right.
I had to stop the machine.
I found out Jessica was spelled with a K.
Yeah, right.
Great.
Exactly. Stop the machine. I think I was able to not take any stitches out, but still, like, recentering perfectly and getting the baseline proper. The camera saved my life.
Yeah.
It is possible to do it without the camera. We're going to talk about that after the break. But it was just super, super duper awesome. So anyway, if you know, this is a thing where it's not like, well, now I have to go out and buy a Destiny. But it's a thing where if something like this comes up for you,
you might want it.
Or you might go to an embroidery place and say, hey, do you have a machine with a camera? This is something I'm going to outsource, you know, for this one little project or something like that. So just so you know, the technology is available and you could access it maybe a couple different ways. Okay, because that technology is on some of the Baby Lock and commercial machines. So
absolutely,
so that's good to know. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about how to do this without, like, a fancy pants camera on your machine. Hey, ZD, would wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. Still have the goat.
So why didn't I embroider a goat?
Great question. Well, you could have.
Okay. So this goat probably measures 15 by 15. Maybe?
Yeah, it's a big old.
14 by 14. And I wanted this big impact, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, I wonder if I can find a goat. I mean, I could have embroidered one. I could have drawn one. I could have painted one on, because we know you can paint on linen, right, Mallory?
I only paint on $100 a yard linen.
I wonder how much that would cost now.
Inflation. That's $500 a yard linen.
I don't know if anybody here, but we've mentioned this before. You know, I came home from work and Mallory's like, oh, Mom. I'm doing this French project, and this fabric is great. You know, I painted it. So she was making a doll and labeling body parts or something.
Yes.
Is that what you were doing in French? And she had this expensive Irish linen.
Painted up real nice.
Yep.
It was a monster.
So painted doll, really well.
Yeah, the monster was a doll. I believe the teacher kept it. I am still in touch with that teacher, actually. There's like a national French test. I can't remember what it's called, but I got like the third highest score on it in the nation.
The world, uh-huh.
Maybe it wasn't the third. Maybe it was like the sixth. Because I think
we'll speak some French now. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I can do that anyway. So we're okay. You could, but all right. If you would embroider this goat, we're talking 4 hours.
Oh. Minimum.
Because
it's shaded, you know. Well, and
4 hours of stitching time.
Exactly.
Well, 25 color changes at least.
Yes.
And then you have to pick out all those colors.
Yeah, you know. And I mean, it is kind of a joke, but I wanted it to be kind of, I mean, I ordered this and thought it might come and it might not be up to my standards.
Right.
But it is. It's very nice. I think I paid $10 for it, okay?
Well, print, okay, if you want something, this looks like an Audubon watercolor. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a realistic rendering of a goat. It's not a silhouette.
I mean, this is something you would buy, like, in a store for decor. In fact, it was meant to be. I mean, they had it, like, you know, displayed on someone's, you know, sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that kind of imagery is not...
It was a barnhouse theme, you know.
Yeah, Barnhouse. Actually, I had a teacher whose last name was Barnhouse at that same school where I did the painting of the French monster doll.
Well, you know, Lindsay's project that we did with the embroidery machine for science, right? We did a cell.
That was cool.
We did, like, the mitochondria and all the little... And then we coded it by color. So the color of the thread, then we made, you know, code. So, like, you know...
In a key.
The mitochondria was green, and this was this, and this. And... I got people coming into the shop saying, I saw your cell that was at the teacher's lounge. It's being passed around. And, of course, that teacher said, can we keep this?
Yeah.
So, yes. And I made her do the thread changes. I mean, I did most of the digitizing.
I mean, I did my own painting on the $100.
I mean, you know, I did most of the digitizing. She drew up what she wanted, and I did do most of the digitizing and everything. But we made it sort of like this book that you opened, you know. Mm. And but anyway, it was the talk of the town, literally.
Yeah. Okay. So if you don't have this machine, something that you do need to have is some kind of software, some kind of embroidery software.
Well, not with all the machines.
I guess you might be right, Mom, but I don't. So what you have to do, though, if you want to do something like this, okay, is print, right, Mom? What do you...
Print.
Print. A template is what I would tell someone to do. What would you tell someone to do? To, like, get the arc of the goat.
The arc.
Yeah.
So you know the arc.
Yeah.
Yes. And in the olden days, mm-hmm. what I would do is without software. Even,
yeah.
So maybe
you
the
could just embroider it
maybe,
out.
Maybe the machine arced the words and mm-hmm. I could get that. Okay. So I would do like 3 or 4 arcs and just
stitch them
all out and then fit my piece into it. Now, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
You know, if it was that important,
we'll
you know
come
I mean,
back.
To get
yeah,
arc.
We'll
yeah.
come back to that. But really, the way you can do this is
what Mallory's talking about is I think we're talking about probably arcing something over the dome of his head.
Yeah, let's talk about because if you just want to embroider goat straight across his chest, no, this is not necessary. Right. But if you're really looking to
and make it look incorporated.
Yeah, you're looking to go around something where the perimeter doesn't give you the whole story about the embroidery design, you're going to need to print. And you can print onto normal paper. However, they sell this stuff that's like printable template paper, and it's sticky. So it prints off, and then it's on a backing, and you can peel it off, and you can like stick it onto your goat pillowcase, okay? So what I would have is the arced word goat that's going to go over his forehead. And it's not going to go on his head, okay? And it's not going to be too far above his head where it looks stupid. It's going to look, like you said, incorporated, right?
Right. Not,
I mean, right where
right,
I want it.
Right. I mean, it is going to be a professional job.
Yes. So then on that template, and this is where embroidery software comes in, the embroidery software will show you the center of that, and it'll give you like a crosshairs kind of thing. Yes. Okay.
Well, there's also embroidery software where you could scan in.
Well, that's a different...
Right.
Well, okay. No, you're totally right.
You could scan in the goat's head.
Yes.
You know, so it would scan... Mm-hmm. Your embroidery... So your mm-hmm. computer would scan like your machine scanned.
Yep.
Okay.
So and then if people are like, can't I just take a picture? The only problem with that is... You have to make sure it's the right size, which you could do.
You can.
Yes.
Right.
So if you bring in an image into your embroidery software that you want to design around, like we're talking about, you have to make sure that it's to scale.
Right.
As you design your you know, complimentary text or your complimentary embroidery. Yes. Okay. So you would just need to make sure. So one way I would do this is I would cut out a 1 by 1 inch piece of paper.
Right.
And I would, that was like blue or something. Okay.
Right.
And I would put it on my goat and I'd take a picture straight
on. So you
want
like a 1 inch square.
Yeah.
Laying next to, right on top of, or it's going to be within the field.
That's
someplace.
Right. So that I could bring it into my software, make sure that that measures 1 inch by 1 inch in my software, so that then I can go on my merry way and design my, you know, arced goat text with the knowledge that this is to scale. But you might be safe as well just, you know, designing it, printing, seeing if your arc is okay. You know, you might be okay doing that. But this is where it comes in. So then there's another piece of the puzzle here. You print using your embroidery software. It's got those crosshairs, okay, in the center. So since you've got your X and your Y axis, you hoop so that those are straight on. They must be true. Okay, you cannot, like we did with our camera, hoop willy-nilly and then rotate it, I mean, you know, to fit, really, okay?
Right.
It's not going to give you quite the, you know...
Exactness.
The exactness, yeah. And then you can define, and then you can actually just center it. Now, where you can be crooked, here's where you can be crooked, is with that snowman sticker.
Yep,
okay. So there's another piece. Yeah, I wonder if they even really advertise this anymore. I feel like people
probably barely use it. Probably not.
Yeah. Because it's like if you got the snowman sticker nowadays, you almost have the...
You're antiquated.
You've got the camera, you know.
Right.
So what this snowman sticker does is it looks like a little snowman. It's got a big circle on bottom, a small circle on top. And you can stick it on to your centering. And if you are off, the machine is like, oh, look, it's, you know... 23 degrees slanted.
Right.
I will rotate it or whatever. But what the printing does is give you that visualization. So it's almost like the projector, you know, on the Solaris. But you have to have your template centered so you know where to send your needle to get it centered. So when we talk about sending your needle somewhere or we talk about perimeter check, most machines... Even your most basic ones,
right?
They'll have 9 reference points for your design.
Right.
So true center, and then you've got the 4 corners.
Well, 4 corners, true center, that's 5.
That's 5. And then you have the 4 centers of the sides.
Exactly.
So that is, you know, that's very useful a lot of times on, you know, on a towel, okay? All I need to know is that I'm not going into the band.
That's right.
Okay? So all I need to know are the bottom center.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All
that you can get the whole word in one, or that you're centered in the towel because you've marked a center mark
right.
on your towel.
So then, but you know, it is nice to have those other reference points in case you want to know where the top corner is, or something like that. Let's pretend you're going into the upper corner of a pillowcase, and you want it to be all the way up to the right. You know, so that's what you would do. So what the template does, though, is if you get the true center and everything is trued up perpendicular, you know, and not crooked, then you can trust that if you've got your design centered there, everything will stitch out as it is, you know, adhered to your project, like that sticker. You know, it's going to do exactly, it's going to go exactly where your sticker is because you've got the center there. Okay, so it's you're trusting. Sometimes it can be hard to trust that, but it's true. If you have the center there, then that's where all the rest of it will go. You know, don't be worried. We had a glitch in the podcast, and what ZD had said, what we think we had said, is you were saying talking from the we're talking about baby locks a lot, right?
Right. Well, and I said our experience, mm-hmm. you know, the majority of our experience is on baby locks.
Yeah.
So if that's not the machine you have or you're going to use or whatever, you may need to, you know, reach out to a dealer or an educator on a specific brand.
Yeah.
Especially if this is confusing. You know, what we're saying, you know, if this is something you already understand, what we're saying makes sense. If it's something you're totally new to or you know, not familiar with at all, it might And this might not be that clear, so but we're talking about reference. You know, you have to have reference points that the machine, you know, can use.
So this is what you can do. Let's pretend you're like, all I'm going to do with my machine is embroider over weird stuff, and I need to know exactly where everything is going to go. Ask your dealer, how would you do this on this machine? Or Google it. How would I center this?
I imagine there's plenty of YouTube.
Yes. No, so the thing about why I said you needed embroidery software is because the great technique is, you know, by printing on that template paper, sticking it down on your project. And
software is wonderful, too, because you're visualizing on it. You know, when you make your design or do your design, you can visualize on your computer screen.
Yeah.
This is a small screen on your machine.
And on your machine, so see this Destiny we have? You know, I probably could. I don't know. I don't know if you can print straight from a machine, like print onto a template. So like if you had the Sophia and there was a design in there, you'd have to export that design, which I think you could do. You can export it. But then to like really view it and be able to do some editing or do some whatever, you'd need to have some kind of software. Software has changed so much since we were dealers. But there was embroidery software.
So much easier and nicer.
Yeah, it's just
expensive.
Gotten better. Yeah, cheaper and better. We could sell you software for like $160 back then that would just let you visualize at least, add some text, do some stuff. I mean, we'd sell someone a $10,000 sewing machine and then it's like $160 software, right?
Yes.
You know, sometimes. And it was just that useful.
Well, the other
thing
about software versus the machine or whatever, because most of these machines now have editing capabilities, is that you're visualizing on a bigger screen. And you can also do the work away from your machine.
Yeah.
You can do the work on your computer and then just transfer it over to your machine.
And there is just, you know, not everybody needs software. Some people, but, you know, when we got a hold of that software, and I bet there's something on the internet now that's like even cheaper and just as powerful. I'll have to do some research. I just have not been keeping up as much in that way. You know, I used to know all the names from all the brands and whether or not you had to have add-ons and stuff. You know, it was also kind of convoluted.
Well, and then we had to worry about, you know, our machines and how much memory they had.
Yeah,
how much RAM versus this and blah, blah, blah. And now, you know, the computers are so powerful.
Right.
You know, most any software is just going to work on
right.
your computer.
So Evie Hawkins of A Bit of Stitch taught a little
who
class.
Does fantastic digitizing.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Makes wonderful design.
She is amazing. She taught a class.
She's clever and cute.
Yes, she taught a class about this, and like we had a piece of fabric that had a branch on it, like printed on it, and we were putting a bird on the branch. So we wanted his little claws to be right there
on the branch.
And that is super fine. You can't get that information with 9 points. I miss Evie too. So that's the kind of really detailed stuff where you want to print it or you want to project it or you want to take a picture or you want to whatever. And you're like, I'm trying to get the bird on the branch, you know?
You know, so. I could make a little, like, word bubble coming out of his mouth.
He could do anything.
And he could be saying something.
And so if you want to do a lot of stuff on this goat and with the Destiny or with anything, I'd recommend doing it, like, one piece at a time. Okay.
Maybe one design.
Use your 5x7 hoop.
Like, make my bubble.
Yeah,
on
do
that.
Your word bubble.
Do my headliner over his head.
Yeah, do them separate.
Don't hoop the whole, try and hoop the whole thing and get the whole shebang in.
I don't.
Do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't either. Yeah.
It seems like, oh, that's a better idea, but it's actually a little bit more secure because he's pretty big, you know.
Yeah, this guy's big.
Yes. And so, anyway, just another word of advice. But yeah, it's super simple. ZD has the goat taken apart. Maybe we could just do a quick little video on scanning him and show him on the machine screen.
True.
So, wow, what a podcast. Embroidery, centering, cameras.
Pasties.
Pasties and goats. Yeah, all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Sorry we've had some pauses. We've had some illness. We've had some just life things getting in the way, and we'll just
I'm gonna blame everything on the pandemic. It seems like the pandemic sort of like just loosened everybody's screws.
So the pandemic happened, and would you say that one of your trauma responses is like to crazily work? We didn't miss an episode during lockdown. We were crazy.
No.
And I think we got a little burnt out and we are calming down a little bit. And it was there. And then lots of hard things came up, right? Yeah. Like Fiona.
Yes.
Lots of things came up.
I had a tumor in my arm.
Yeah.
Mallory actually got COVID.
I did get COVID.
Despite, you know, I mean.
Yeah, despite our best efforts. Right.
I mean, in fact, she's the only one out of our family of, you know, six that live in this
specific house. One on the compound.
Right. Now, and then my daughter's husband did get it, and he was the only one in the family of five. Of their immediate family.
You know, and who was like symptomatic.
Right. And,
you know,
and they had them, they did not give this to each other.
Right.
Mallory and Josh were separate. It was a totally different time, but it's very, very bizarre.
Yeah. So, anywho.
Yeah, I'm still a unicorn. I haven't had it.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently not.
Or who knows?
Anyway. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for listening. You can follow us on Instagram. We were at SoHereCom. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SoHere.com.